remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here?
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are here live at the International Cannabis Business Conference. It's the 420 break, and what better guest could we have for 420 than the guru of ganja, Ed Rosenthal, is here. Hello, Ed.
Hi.
How you doing today?
Hi.
You're a perfect answer. I saw your booth over there. How is business today?
Hi.
It's high, absolutely. We're boy, I'm going to have to come up with better questions. Did you bring a book, by the way?
No. We can get one.
We'll have to get a book over here so we can show people. We have video now. We can show people how the books look these days.
Okay.
So we've entered a new realm here in California. We've got a new realm in California with legalization passing. We've got this event. This industry is growing by leaps and bounds. What are your thoughts about this? About the changes that are coming along?
Well, I'm glad that it's legal, but I think that 64 will fail.
Yeah. What are some of the...
We need books.
Oh, she's going to go get some books for us.
Yeah.
What are some of the flaws that you see that are going to cause this failure?
Well, I think that people are not going to be able to do exactly that what they want in a lot of the counties because the law fractionalizes California. And for that reason, people are going to either be confused or just have contempt for the law in many areas. And I think that that there are many people who are going to be, and also that there are many people who are going to be excluded from legal cannabis and legal cannabis sales or cultivation and so on, especially commercial. And those people are going to continue to do that, just as they were doing before it was legal. So this law is just going to breed contempt. And also, those people who are growing outside, are growing illicit gardens, those people will always be able to undersell the stores.
Right, right. So possibly end up with a situation where after legalization, the black market continues, and then our opponents can say, see, it didn't help.
You know, I don't like the term black market.
Yeah.
I like illicit market.
Illicit underground.
Can we use illicit?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Illicit market, underground market.
Yeah. I hope you continue that after this interview.
Oh, absolutely. It's generally a thing I don't say, so thank you for catching me on that. I usually say underground, actually. But,
okay.
It's something where I feel like... In kind of going halfway with legalization, in a sense, we end up getting the worst of both worlds. We end up with the worst parts of prohibition intruding into our legalization and making it look bad.
Yeah.
That's something you feel like. All right, well, we got some books now in front of us. Show us some of the new stuff that you got
going
on here.
Well, you know, Marijuana Grower's Handbook.
Yeah.
And that's been around for a few years. And I'm redoing that now.
Yes.
And... Then this is the Big Book of Bud's Greatest Hits, and that book is this is a compilation of the four Greatest Hits books.
Okay, okay.
And this is a brand new group. It's called This Bud's for You, and this is our first post-prohibition book. And it has some interesting articles and some of the new varieties. And it's more consumer than grower oriented.
Okay.
Yeah.
This Bud's for You, Legal Marijuana, Selecting, Growing, and Enjoying Cannabis by Ed Rosenthal. And this on the website, I assume, edrosenthal.com.
Yeah, right. And now I'm working on finishing up a book called Harvest, which I think is going to be pretty controversial. I'll give you one controversial thing. I say throw away your jars or use them for pickles or something.
Go away from glass jars?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Why is that?
Well, you know, you close up a glass jar and the humidity goes up as the as the plants lose humidity, right?
Okay.
So that humidity in the jar goes up so much that it creates a big bacterial formation
okay.
on your plants.
Are there any ways of maintaining a good humidity that you...
Yeah, take them out of the jar.
And just let them be in the air?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, you want to control the air and the humidity of the air.
Like with a humidor or something?
A humidor or a humidifier, dehumidifier in the room that maintains a certain humidity. About 65%.
65 is what you're looking for?
Yeah, during curing, and then you want to bring it down a little bit.
Okay. The
a little less maybe during curing sometimes.
Okay. There was a story I was following coming out of California, UC Davis doing a study on marijuana samples that they had gotten from various outlets, finding 40 to 50% of them being tainted. Did that shock or surprise you?
Well, what were they tainted with?
Biologics, fungus, mold.
Well, I want to ask you something. You know that bacteria just started going on to marijuana after they started testing it.
It's a brand new thing, huh?
Yeah, it's brand new. And marijuana never had bacteria before, right?
Right. Well, I guess the concern is some lady who had a severe immune compromised system died from this, from some fungal infection or something.
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
So, you know, Jack Herer and I developed marijuana in 1958.
Okay.
When we were both quite young.
Okay.
And then we brought it to the world. You know, you're aware
that's where,
of that.
That's where it all started.
And
Jack.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
1958.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
And then the bacteria didn't find out about it.
Until what, 2014?
Well, until they started, about a week after they started testing it.
Okay.
Right? So all those years that people didn't have bacteria, they didn't get sick from it.
I see.
Right?
It's just now that, so it's the testing then we need to stop.
That's right. So, but seriously, when you think about it, there aren't any ER cases based on anything like that. Now, there are, let's take powdery mildew, for instance,
okay.
even. You know, when I was doing a book working on this new book that's coming out called Harvest, I spent quite a bit of time trying to find any kind of pathology dealing with powdery mildew, and there is none. So if somebody, I'm not saying somebody should smoke something with powdery mildew, but I can't say that they'll get sick. I don't think they'll get sick from it because there's just no indication anywhere of powdery mildew ever causing anything, any emergency room things. Now, there is salmonella, and there are other, you know, molds that can cause illness. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be tested. But when they start getting down to general high bacterial counts, they're really stopping biological insecticides, some of which are based on bacteria, which don't affect humans.
Hmm.
And also, they're not testing for the ones that are really serious, like certain E. coli's, things like that. So I think that pot should be tested, but it's rare to find any kind of ER ER visits based on these ingredients.
Hmm. It's something that's been a big issue all up and down the West Coast. In Oregon, they just started a testing procedure that put us way behind as far as production goes because they didn't have enough laboratories that met the standards. Where do you see this going as far as testing? Do you think there's going to be more of it, less of it, better testing?
Well, first of all, I think that the testing methods that they're using now, which is they're trying to grow it, or they're using machinery for it. I don't think that that's the way to go. I think it should be an antibody test kit.
Okay. Okay.
And with an antibody kit, like an ELISA kit.
Yeah.
And so it's very inexpensive to do. And then you can zero in on any that are suspicious.
Okay. Part of also what folds into this testing issue has to do with the fact that we've got people that are consuming this for medical versus people that are consuming adult use, personal use, whatever we want to call it. And I hear from the people on the medical side that they're worried about these pesticides and fungicides that might be used. And, of course, you've advocated a lot of natural alternatives to that.
I don't think there should be separate standards. I think if it's harmful to the... for the medical side, mm-hmm. it shouldn't be accepted for recreational.
Yeah.
I think that most pesticides, I think people don't, there's no reason for people to use pesticides that aren't considered acceptable, because there are always alternatives to chemical pesticides.
Yeah. We also have so many industry people here, and we do have a little bit of a delay before California kicks off what they call the mega grows, the over an acre sized massive grows. As that develops, do you see a broadening of the market happening, more breadth of THC levels and products available? What do you see unfolding as California comes online with massive commercial production?
Well, the only thing that Americans don't have much choice in is their politicians. But if you want to buy toilet tissue, you can buy a lot of different styles: single ply, double ply, scented, unscented, uh-huh. embroidered, embossed, you know, whatever.
Mega roll.
So I don't see why people shouldn't have at least as much choice in marijuana as they do in toilet tissue.
Yeah. What do you think about the, I saw some numbers recently from Ease, that service that delivers cannabis out here in California, where they were saying there was such an increase in vaporization and a decrease in flower. Are you and I going to end up being the last guys smoking flower while all these young kids are vaping away? Or do you see a renaissance in flower happening maybe someday in the future?
You mean you're the Lone Ranger?
It feels like it sometimes.
Don't look at me.
I've never known you to pass up a joint now, Ed. Come on.
Well, I won't pass up a joint, but I like concentrates.
Yeah.
I like to concentrate.
Is there any, because we've had flower use for so long and haven't seen bad things happen from it. I go on to YouTube nowadays. I see young people doing these, 1 gram, 2 gram, 4 gram dabs, trying to just overdo it like crazy. Is there any worry that the concentrates, being kind of new, we don't know as much about them?
Well, it's not that.
Okay.
You know, you have to look at it in holistically. So the kid who's doing that, it was a kid, right? Young kid, mm-hmm. like 21 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So let's say they weren't binge smoking like that. What would they be doing?
Keg stands?
Binge drinking?
Yeah.
So isn't this a harm reduction?
You could look at it that way, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we see a lot of that with people talking about vaporization as a harm reduction measure.
Absolutely. That's right, because they want something that really takes them away from the standard consciousness, and if they couldn't do that, then they might be drinking or combining drink and pot.
Yeah, good point. Now, in your time working as a columnist, as a writer, what are some of the silliest or craziest things people have asked you about weed? You must have heard every weed question there is. What are some of the crazy ones?
Craziest questions. Well, there's this whole genre of people who just... don't know about, like, really don't know about sex and sexual reproduction,
okay.
whether it's people or plants or whatever.
Okay.
And, like, they just don't get it.
Okay.
You know, the, so. most of it has to do with the craziness has to do with use, how to use it.
Yeah.
You know, I will say that you should not try injecting it into your arm.
There's that old Saturday Night Live with Chevy Chase trying to inject a joint one time. I remember that right. as a kid.
Doesn't work.
Well, all right. So remember, folks, the books, This Bud's For You is the newest one. And then Harvest, when is Harvest going to come out? Do you know?
Harvest is going to be out in 3 or 4 months.
3 or 4 months?
Before Harvest.
Before Harvest. What perfect yes. timing for that.
Yes.
Well, Ed, thank you for stopping by the desk.
Hey, you know what? I'd like to talk about one thing.
Please, which is, go for it.
Yeah, so, right now in California, we're trying to integrate Prop 64 and this legislation that was passed by the legislature.
The McCurson.
Into the culture. But... But the important thing about this, there are a lot of things about both of these things that I don't like, but I'm not going to get into that, much to Russ's relief.
Go right.
But what I do want to say, there's one really good thing about the legislation and the initiative, and that is, more people in California will have access to good pot, and that is really important.
That's always a good thing I wanted to say. Thank you, Ed. Thanks for stopping by. Yep. EdRosenthal.com, everyone, if you want to get more information. We got more live guests joining us here in the next couple of minutes. Chris Conrad will join us. He's the co-author of The Newbie's Guide to the Cannabis Industry. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll have more for you live here at the International Cannabis Business Conference at the Union Square Hilton here in San Francisco, California. Stay tuned. We're back with more here on RadicalRust.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.